we have to recognize that part of God's creation is us. Yes. And God's word gives us some very specific things in regard to us. And I am not going to give you a 4-point plan of how to be healthy. Okay, that's not, and you're saying, well, good for that, because we're looking at you. Okay, well, I didn't get an amen, but that would have been appropriate. That would have been fine. I'll start with that little bit of humor. You know, my dad is kind of a big fella, and he taught me some things that sadly I can start using. You know, Oren was talking about having a six-pack the other day. Do you know what that means? Okay, that's not, you know, six cans of Coke. You know, he's talking about those abdominal muscles showing up. And I said, yeah, my six-pack has turned into a 2-liter, and I'm afraid it's approaching the keg. So I hope that it doesn't get any further than that, but I need to work on that. And this is one of the stewarding ones that I really, I don't like. I mean, I would much rather, well, I don't like the time one all that much either, but that has been stepping on my toes. This one's going to step on my toes. I'm not sure exactly which one I feel will feel more comfortable about, but I certainly don't feel all that comfortable about this one. My dad would come up with things like, you can tell I'm on the level, he would say to someone, because the bubble's in the middle, you know. Or he'd say, have you ever heard of furniture's disease? Have you ever heard of furniture? That's when your chest drops into your drawers. Yeah. So, maybe that one you have to be a little more selective with who you should, you know, a Sunday night crowd, that's fine. He had some others. I can't remember all of them. Maybe you've heard this one. Every time I get the urge to exercise, I lie down till the feeling passes. Yeah. I won't ask who's used that. All right. The second day of a diet is always easier than the first. Why? Well, by the second day, you're off your diet. Yeah, so it's always easier. My doctor told me to stop having intimate dinners for 4, unless there are 3 other people with me. Okay, we can go on. Ha, ha, ha. And we kind of poke fun at those things, and maybe we do that because, in a sense, we don't understand the importance of what we're actually really talking about, or we feel maybe it's like a hopeless thing, and it's just something I got to deal with, for whatever reasons. But we need to understand that this thing of stewarding our health is foundational to the Christian's ability to steward every other part of our life. Okay, so it's really very instrumental. I'll illustrate the truth of that to you this evening as we go over this. Let me say it again. Stewarding our health is foundational to the Christian's ability to steward every other part of life. Okay, we've already looked at time. We've looked at stewardship, the stewardship principle in general. And then the next thing that we looked at was particularly time. Well, if we don't have good health, then it's going to make it difficult for us to steward our time, isn't it? We might not be able to do with our time what we need to do or what we should do if our health isn't what it should be. Our physical and emotional strength are vehicles through which we can minister to others for the Lord. The Bible outlines practical helps for caring for our physical and our emotional well-being. And we're going to kind of put those two together. So we need to realize that the purpose for healthy minds and bodies is to use them for the Lord. Like I said, I'm not going to give you a 4-step nutrition plan and exercise. That's not what we're going to get tonight. What we're going to get is what the Bible does have to say about it. Okay, and maybe some warnings along the way. Recognize that we need to be conscious of these things. We need to recognize as well that spiritual hunger for God's power is more important than filling our physical appetites. And then understanding the relationship of rest and replenishment. Those are some things, hopefully, that as we go through this, we'll come to recognize or recommit to. So, as Christians, as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, as Christians, we belong to God. We are God's, and we need to recognize that. And we need to recognize that Scripture says that we're God's lock, stock, and barrel. That is, it's everything. Who knows the way or why we got the phrase, or what the meaning is behind lock, stock, and barrel? Okay, that's what it means. I have no idea why it means that. Yeah, it could be a gun. Yeah. I was hoping it wasn't some other kind of barrel, so I wasn't sure. But lock, stock, and barrel, maybe it's a gun thing. I have no idea. But you know what I mean by that, right? Completely. Everything. That's how he owns us. Our bodies are his possessions. And as we read in 1 Corinthians here, his temple. And as a temple. As a temple, it's made, its purpose is to what? Glorify him, worship him. Okay? We are to use our bodies to bring honor and glory to Christ. So much of our culture really emphasizes health and panders towards self-gratification when it comes to these things of health and other things. Yes, it is pleasurable to be healthy, but our primary motivation as God's children, as those that are his and that we are his possession, our primary motivation should be for stewarding our health so that our bodies can do all that he intends for them to do. Okay. Now, there is some things that we have to say, and I don't want to do this piecemeal, so let me follow my notes a little bit here so I don't piecemeal it. There is a biblical paradigm for health. And it's not going to be this, and this, okay, and we go out here and we understand all of it. There have been a lot of things that have been started over the years concerning the subject of health, and the Bible has been used as the foundation for the development of a particular program. Let me mention one, and we'll get to it in just a little bit, in a little bit when we look at this man. Roger beat me to it. That's right. The Daniel diet. Okay, how many of you have heard of the Daniel diet? Anyone here of the Daniel diet? One, two, three, four. Four. Okay. Five of us have heard of the Daniel diet. Okay. Well, then it didn't storm, Kalispell then maybe, or Bethel at least. I forget how many years ago now. It's been a few years ago. Pastor Rick Warren I think the story goes that he was baptizing quite a few people, a couple hundred people or something like that. And as he was baptizing them, he realized that all these people that he was baptizing were all overweight. I think that's the word he used, overweight. And then he also recognized at the same time that the one doing the baptizing was overweight. Okay. So he, got together three doctors, I guess we'll use that term, a little loosely. And he asked them to help him develop a diet plan. And they chose the name Daniel Plan. Never mind what I think. Okay, so they chose the name Daniel Plan, okay? So, bite my tongue. So, but if you hear the Daniel diet, what immediately comes to your mind? Vegetables. Well, okay, yeah, vegetables. But Daniel, and what in particular about Daniel? And vegetables. All right, Daniel taken to captivity, and then saying, no, let us eat the vegetables. Okay, all right. That's what comes to our mind. Well, that really is not what the Daniel diet is, okay? And there's been a lot of hype about the Daniel diet, although obviously it hasn't caught on here, and that's fine. Boy, you go on the website with the Daniel diet and you'll find all kinds of mugs and t-shirts and bags and the food stuff to buy and all kinds. They've done a really good job, packaging and marketing the Daniel diet. Okay. They've done a tremendous job. They're to be commended for that. But that's the way kind of things go. You understand? And so if you're going to, it's not said, but if you're going to lose health in a biblical way and in a God-pleasing way, you need to do this plan. And in order to do this plan, you need all this stuff to get this plan done. Okay? Now, I don't know if it started out with that intention, but it seems like that's the direction it has gone. And I want to caution you about not just the Daniel diet. That's just an example. One more recent example. There's been all sorts of those things, and many of them are successful for a time. Okay. And I think it's because we don't understand the real biblical principles of stewarding our health. Okay? In other words, what we're focusing on is this plan that's been developed. And maybe it's a very good plan, and maybe it's the best plan even. But we put our emphasis or our focus there rather than understanding the very important biblical principles of stewarding our health. And so that's really what we're going to look at this evening. And then you're free in your Christian liberty to come up with whatever, or to join one of those programs, or to come up with your own. And if you get somebody to help you commercialize it, maybe you can sell it to others too. I don't know. One more word of caution that I do want to mention with the Daniel plan is that those three doctors that he had come together to help him on that, they're very, very dangerous. Some of those people are very dangerous individuals. They practice things that are clearly unscriptural. Reiki healing? Is that the right word? Reiki? I think it's Reiki. Reiki healing and contemplative prayer and many other things like that. So it's kind of a mixed pot. Be careful if you're going to follow that plan. Be careful of the spiritual dynamics that are introduced through that particular program. Well, so what is this biblical paradigm? Scriptures has much to say about the care of our bodies. Turn with me to John, the third epistle of John. So, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And here we have some interesting information here in the first couple of verses. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle John wanted his dear friend Gaius here to enjoy the same robust health physically that he already possessed spiritually. Did you see that there? Undoubtedly, spiritual health is, of course, by far the more important of the two. I mean, you can have perfect health, but if you don't have Christ, you have what? Nothing. Yeah. All right. You might live really long having nothing, but really at the end you have nothing. And of course, we aren't arguing that, and we understand that reality. But physical health, to the degree that it lies within our power to strengthen, is important as well. John wanted Gaius here to be free from the distractions of illness and pain so that he could best carry out the work that God had called him to do. That was the whole point. For the good health, was to do all that God intends for him to do. Okay? Scripture's clear that God's purpose for our physical body is that we would use it to his honor. Okay? That's an important stewardship principle when it comes to our stewarding our health. Its primary purpose, our health, is to be used for his honor, for his glory. When he purchased us, he didn't just claim our souls, he purchased our bodies as well. Okay? And you recognize that, right? What other portion of Scripture would support that other than the one that we've already read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Can you think of one? Okay, our body's a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How about Romans chapter 12? Will that fit in there? Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Bodies. There it is. Okay. Holy and acceptable and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's right. Then it goes on to talk about a mind as well. That is why, of course, the Apostle John wanted Gaius to have strong health, that he might have the strength to spend his life in service for Christ. And that ought to be our reason as well. The ultimate reason for desiring strong health and prolonged days is that we might glorify God with all of them. So there are many aspects of health and sickness that we don't understand, all right? I think that's important for us to acknowledge. There have been some strange things suggested in regard to maintaining health or getting your health back or whatever, because I think people fail to realize or to admit that there are some things that we don't get. Okay. And we also have come to the place in our lives with what God has allowed man to figure out as far as medical things are concerned, that when we go in with a problem, we expect to come out of the doctor's office with what? The solution. That's right. And if we just follow their ABC, in time, we'll have health. And we kind of get upset at the doctors if they can't help us with those things. Now, we're assuming that they're doing their best, and they're applying themselves and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about people not doing their job well or right, okay? But there are many aspects of health and sickness that we don't understand. I just had this conversation when my family's around, but a young man that asked a question, and we do know the source. We do know the source for all sickness and health problems, don't we? What is the source? Sin. It is sin. Okay. But as quickly as I said that, I said, now that I'm not talking about the sin of a particular person or a particular situation, right? I'm talking about the fact that this world and its creation, all of creation, including man, is now under sin's curse. And sin's curse brings death and disease. Disease. I did that wrong, right? Disease and death. Okay. And it's going to be that way until it's made right by God. Now, God has, like I said, enabled man to figure some things out, and he's given man an incredible intelligence, and we've been able to figure out some things to do to treat some of these diseases. We're working hard at trying to figure out some others, and that's just a fine thing for man to do. And I think that's a good use of time and so on and so forth. But we need to also recognize that man has his place and God is in his place. And man has no business trying to, of course, usurp the place of God when it comes to the matters of health. We don't know, for instance, why our loved ones develop cancer, especially when it doesn't appear to be due to a physical negligence on their part. You know, a person that develops lung cancer and hasn't smoked a cigarette and they're single, once in their life. Although it has been proven in scientific laboratories that no one smokes. Yeah, the cigarette smokes. The person's just a sucker. That's it. Yeah. That's not originally with me. Somebody else gave me that, but I don't want to mention his name anymore. We don't understand why. Neither do we understand why many dear godly Christians are crippled in pain and limited by physical suffering. And some, for most of their life. Now, can you think of some Bible examples? Before we go any further, let's see if you can help me with this. Okay, we need to understand these things. In other words, we can follow a plan. We can come up with a plan and we can do everything right. Okay, as far as we can tell, they're right to do. And at the end of the day, we may still have poor health. Right? We may be plagued with some kind of a sickness or a disease that just defies explanation, or it's been explained, but there's no cure. Now, can you think of some biblical explanations? Or, I mean, examples of that? What's one? Okay. Okay, that was the blind man, wasn't it? And the disciples were following the wrong thinking of the time, and they believed that this man's blindness was a result either of the man's sin, which was kind of silly because how long had this guy been blind? Since birth, okay. Did his parents sin? Okay, so maybe they were being diplomatic. I don't know. But what was Jesus' answer? Neither. This man's blindness was for what purpose? God's glory. Okay, so there's one. What's another? Yeah, Doc. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Lots of speculation about that. And we think it was probably physical, but it very well could have been a combination of physical and emotional. or maybe it leaned more on emotion, and who knows? I'm not, or what we would say, some kind of a mental struggle. Okay, we don't know what it is, but he wanted to get rid of it, didn't he? I mean, we're talking about the great apostle Paul, and he prayed how many times to get rid of it? 3 times, and God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient." So, you know, Paul rested in that truth. So there's another example. What's another one? Yes. Job. I figured Job would come out. Yeah, Job. I mean, wow. And on we could go, couldn't we? With illustrations of these things. And we need to keep this in mind. Sadly, there are Christians that misunderstand this. And they do. They do tag any kind of sickness or disease that isn't cured by the laying on of hands and a prayer and maybe some other things as well. And if you're not healed from it, what's the reason you haven't been healed? Your lack of faith. Yeah, your lack of faith, your belief in God. And there's a false doctrine that's been built on twisting some scripture to get to that point. But we do know. Even though in these circumstances, some of them that you just reminded us of, these biblical examples, we do know that we need to understand those times, those circumstances, in reference to or in the context of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And what does that say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that, what? Love God. To them who are called or are the called according to His purpose. And so we have to say there are times when in the area of health, our physical and emotional health, that we don't understand. But we do understand this, that the struggles that we're going through, the struggles that we're facing, you know, and we can think of many of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ in just the last few years who really struggled and the ones that are currently struggling right now. We know that we have to understand those struggles in light of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. God is sovereign, isn't He? He is sovereignly in control, and He has promised to work all things for our good and His eternal purposes. Although we wish that we and every other Christian we know could enjoy continual health, we recognize that in God's providence, He has a bigger purpose than we can see. Throughout the scriptures, we see the providence of God in health and in sickness. You've given me some of those. Consider King Hezekiah. I think you might have brought Hezekiah up for something not too long ago here. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 1, the prophet Isaiah told him, Hezekiah, to settle his earthly affairs, for he was soon to die. Hezekiah, remember what Hezekiah did? He cried out to the Lord, asking Him to spare his life. And God answered this request and gave him an additional 15 years of life. God then gave Isaiah a physical remedy for Hezekiah's sickness, Isaiah 38, verse 21. Okay, and we know that Hezekiah then had those promised years. Hezekiah's testimony reminds us that God is sovereign over the beginning and the end of our lives. Paul says in the book of Romans that no one lives to themselves and no one dies to themselves. Okay. Our lives are to be for the beginning, middle, and end. They're to be lived for the glory of God. Even if we consume only the healthiest foods, exercise properly, and are careful to rest and replenish, we really cannot control how many days we have on earth. And so while we consider this thing of stewarding health, we need to keep this in mind and make sure that by God's grace, we never make this thing of maintaining our health an idol. And if we're not careful, that certainly our culture has done that. And if we're not careful, even as God's children, we can do the very same thing. Okay. Now, at the same time, you know, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, are we? Okay. That doesn't mean we can, you know, live in poor health. The president of Faith, Tillotson. Yeah. I think he was the one that was saying, talking about prayer, you know, as we pray for, over the food, you know, today. Why do we do that? You know, Lord, please help this Cheeto to become a carrot on its way down. Okay. You know, I mean, that's not what we are doing. We're not going to the other extreme of this. We're not going to make this an idol. Okay. We're not going to make this the main thing. But we're also not going to, you know, just say, ah, doesn't matter, God will take care. Because the danger of that is that we're not to test God, are we? Okay. And of course, we think about, you know, like jumping off a tall building or something like that. But we probably would never test God that way, but we might test him with the way in which we treat our health. I mean, we might really be setting ourselves up for a very large coronary event. just by the choices that we're making. And isn't that the same thing as stepping off a tall building without a parachute? Yeah. And so we understand we should not be behaving like this. All right, so let me see. What else do we want to say? You've given me some of these, so we're going to... We talked about the blind man, so we'll leave that one alone. That was John 9. So as you seek to apply God's principles of health to your life, remember to trust his purposes. In both sickness and in health, God desires that our lives would bring him glory. And haven't we had some wonderful, personally, haven't we had some wonderful testimonies of that in the last few years? Of brothers and sisters in Christ who have really struggled physically. And they have maintained a godly testimony by God's grace to the end. And what a thing that's been, what a testimony that's been to us. The purpose of the Christian is to glorify God through our lives. To this end, we want to do all that we can to steward our health so we have the greatest possible capacity to serve the Lord. We leave the unknown and the unfixable aspects of our health into the Lord's wise and careful providence, right? That's what we do. And I think that's the biblical way in which we understand it. We do what we understand to do for that purpose, to glorify God. You know, one of the ways that you test this is, it's amazing how many Christian people get busy about getting physically fit, and they do. They become physically fit. And you wonder about their motivation sometimes, because all of a sudden, they're not so actively involved in the church, but they are actively involved in pursuing the marathons or the whatevers, okay? The golf course or the whatever. Another way this manifests itself that indicates that we don't have the stewarding mindset of our health is that men or women, okay, in regard to this, shed those pounds, and those pounds that they once covered with clothes, you know, they no longer cover those pounds with clothes because they're gone, but they also uncover a lot of the pounds that remain, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, they're dressing totally different. Well, what was the drive there? Was it to glorify God? Narcissism is what it was. Look at me. We need to be very careful in regard to this thing of stewarding our health. We live in a culture that lives to eat rather than eats to live. And that's something we need to recognize. Many have observed, that's not new to our culture by any means, okay? You know, when Scripture is talking about, I mean, the context of Scripture dealing with gluttony is that the Romans were known for lounging at their tables and eating until they couldn't hold anymore, and they would actually, this is kind of gross, they would lose some, and then they would eat some more, okay? I mean, that was the context of it. And maybe we're not there yet as a culture, but we certainly are getting off track in many ways. Many have observed that by our unstrained love for food, most of us are digging our own graves with a fork and spoon, some have suggested. And I think that's something that we ought to take into consideration. In recent years, libraries of material have been written on health and wellness, from gimmicks to solid research. And it seems there's a never-ending stream of new discoveries and suggested tricks. And sometimes it becomes very, very difficult to sort through all of that. I'm saying for God's people, it's not really all that important that we get through all of that. I think it's important to read and to find out about nutrition and exercise and those kinds of things and ask God to give you wisdom as you go through these things, to keep them in the proper mindset of stewarding our health for its purpose of being all that God intends for us to be. I pray this for my children all the time, and they hear it when I pray with them. They hear me say it, you know, help them in school tomorrow. Help them to learn all that they can so they can do whatever it is that you intend for them to be. Well, I actually have never prayed that for their health, but I could pray that. I should pray that for their health, shouldn't I? Help them be healthy, help them to have brush their teeth really well, and do that flossing and all that stuff, so that they can maintain a good health as much as they possibly can, so they can do all that you intend for them to do. That would be an appropriate thing to pray, wouldn't it? That's the mindset that we need to have as we consider stewarding health. Well, tonight, we might not get through all of it tonight, but I want to end with this, the legacy of Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and you might say, well, you already talked to us about the Daniel diet. Okay, well, let's actually just look at this account for just a minute. Daniel, I used to have my Bible. Where's it at? Yeah, it's right after Ezekiel, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it's a new Bible, but I'll see if it's still after Ezekiel. I think it is. All right, there it is. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we have, let's pick it up in verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. That's fine. We can pick it up there. You know, you're familiar with this story. So the king appointed them. That is the captives, the Jewish captives, the young Jewish captives that were taken off to Babylon, okay? Appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So there was this program that they were put into, and that was to prepare them to serve the king well. Okay, it was like a 3-year program. Well, in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. I think it's kind of comical. What was he afraid of? He's going to lose his head. Yeah, that's what he's afraid of. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. All right? And so there we have it. That was what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart, not only Daniel, but some others as well. And they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. Well, what this has been used is to prove that Christians should not eat meat. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard it used that Christians shouldn't drink wine, but maybe if we're going to use it to prove that you shouldn't eat meat, we could use it to prove that you shouldn't drink wine. But that's not the point, is it? Okay. The Babylonians were well known for their love for a particular kind of meat. Do you know what that meat was? Pork. And they were also known for doing this really bizarre, I mean, in my mind, it's pretty bizarre, is to mix something with their wine. Do you know what it was? Blood. Okay. Kind of barbaric, wasn't it? Well, that's what they were known for. I mean, you can look at it. It's historically demonstrated. And then also, it was very common practice by the Babylonians that they would take the meat and the wine and all the other food, and they would do what with it before it was served to the king and the other people, offered to the idols, blessing the idols. Okay, so this of course, is what Daniel was standing opposed to. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself in such a way, because the Jews by God had been given, the Jews had been given by God a very specific directive in their diet, right? And they were to only eat of the clean animals, not the unclean. They weren't to be drinking blood, okay? And so this is, of course, what Daniel was standing opposed to. But I think there's a point here for us to take away. It doesn't really inform us of what our diet should be. Some will go then say, see, we should eat pulse. What, by the way, is pulse? How many of you know what pulse is? How many of you have a box of pulse in your kitchen or in your cabinets at home? Oren does. I didn't know that, Oren. I tried to track this down. Most people think that it has to do with like pods and beans, okay? Like peas and stuff. And some say, well, it also includes some roots and some things like that, okay? And I don't know. It's kind of hard to lock it down specifically what it means, okay? But it was a veggie diet, okay? We could say that. It was not meat. And then, of course, the water part we kind of understand, right? You got that part down? Okay. Now, I hope it tasted better than Kalispell water. Evergreen water is a little better, but I tell you what, none of it can hold a candle to my father-in-law's well water, okay? I really like that well water. First thing I do when I go to my father-in-law's house is I just ignore everybody. I walk to the cabinet, get a glass out, and get a glass of water. I just like that water. So we understand that part. Well, so then people will say we shouldn't eat meat and we should eat vegetables. Well, this is not the point. But I think it does teach us a point here. That food and how it's prepared and what's done with it, so on and so forth, is not something that we should just disregard. Okay? Now, remember in the early church, there was a problem in regard to this, wasn't there? And this is where we get some of that teaching about the weaker brother. So next week when we gather, if the Lord tarries, as we work hard and diligent this week to steward our time and steward our health, we'll pick it up there, and we'll spin off of this. But I think the legacy of Daniel, the first point I want to give is that we eat for nourishment. Okay, I think Daniel's story does teach us that we eat for nourishment. Okay? That's what it really needs to be about. I mean, here was this young man away from home. He could have had all sorts of delicacies that maybe he'd heard about and maybe, in a sense, even craved. If he tried some, who would even know? You know, I mean, they could make a pact. The kids that were captives together, they could make a pact. We'll just do this here. What's done in Babylon stays in Babylon, you know. But that was not his attitude. And I think one of the principles that we can take away as we consider stewarding our health is that we eat for nourishment. All right. If I haven't accomplished anything tonight but this, then I think it's good. We need to see that stewarding health is part of our stewardship responsibility. I think we see it certainly when it comes to money and maybe other possessions and things like that. But I wonder if we've really looked at health as being a stewardship responsibility. And so we'll get a little bit more into that. I mean, what has this done to the healthcare thing and all this? There's several things that we'll explore for just a moment. I think we can understand a lot of them as we understand the biblical principles in regard to stewarding our health. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the life that you've given us. And we thank you that you are a sovereign God who is in control. But help us to understand the stewardship responsibility that you've placed upon us in regard to our health. Help us to be willing to face ourselves in the mirror and to recognize areas we're falling short. And by your grace and strength to work diligently at having health as best we can to do all that you intend for us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.